Hi, and welcome to this audio edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? With host Doris Hansen. On this program, we discuss polygamy and Mormon fundamentalism from a biblical Christian perspective. We talk about the history of polygamy, its modern-day fruit, share stories from people who have escaped polygamy, and talk about current events relating to polygamy. You can learn more about the video edition of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. And now, here's Doris.
Welcome to our show tonight, Polygamy, What Love Is This? I am your host, Doris Hansen, and we do talk about polygamy here. We go clear back to biblical polygamy, early Mormon polygamy, and present-day, modern, contemporary Mormon fundamentalist polygamy. I was born and raised in a polygamy group, and I know what I was taught while I was growing up. And I talk to people in polygamy groups, different groups, all over the place, all the time. And I know what they were taught when they were growing up. Basically, polygamy groups teach that polygamy will make the one who practices it holy and righteous. They teach that you must live polygamy in order to please God and in order to get into celestial glory. In fact, they teach you cannot get into full highest celestial glory unless you practice polygamy. This was an early Mormon teaching, and it is a current polygamy teaching of today. All Mormon fundamentalist polygamy groups teach this in one form or another. And we're here to tell you, if you're a polygamist watching the show tonight, that isn't true. We want you to get into, and we invite you to get into the Bible and study what it says and find out if what you're being taught is true. God wants you to do that. And when you do an honest study in the Bible, you will find out that it isn't true. And then you will have the obligation to run, don't walk, but run to freedom and take as many people with you as you can. This is a live television show. It's a telephone call-in program. Our telephone number is 801-973-TV20, 801-973-8820. We do invite your telephone calls for your comments and your opinions of our show and the contents of our show. If you would prefer to communicate by email, our email address is tv@aboutpolygamy.com, and we would love to hear from you. If you're a new viewer tonight, we'd like to welcome you to the show, and we hope you enjoy it. You can go on to our webpage, whatloveisthis.tv, and from that webpage, you'd be able to watch all of our previous programs or any of the shows on streaming video. I'd like to remind our polygamous viewers that we do have a monthly discussion group in the Salt Lake City area. Our next group meeting is October 19th, and if you are in or have been in a polygamy group and you just have issues or questions or just somebody that you need to talk to, you're invited to come to the group. We'd love to have you. Just email me, tv@aboutpolygamy.com, for the details. And also a reminder that we will give the DVD, Lifting the Veil of Polygamy, free to anyone in a polygamy group. If you have been in one or are in one now, we'll give it to you free. Just ask for it, tell us where to send it, and we'll send it to you. And if you're in the LDS Church, we'll also send you one. And this offer is also extended to the book, Is Polygamy Biblical? Just let us know how to get it to you, and we'll send it to you at no charge. And if you are in a polygamy group and you need help, and you have questions or concerns that you would like to have some answers, go to our website, shieldandrefuge.org, shieldandrefuge.org, and on there you can find information about polygamy. You can find our contact page, and you can write down all our information to call us or get a hold of us if you need to at some point. Or if you have questions, or if you need help breaking free, breaking loose from a polygamous situation or a polygamous group, we'll help you. Just give us a call. Our toll-free number is 877-425-9993. And everything that we discuss, of course, will be held in confidentiality. We do receive emails and phone calls from time to time from people who watch the show or they're on the webpage, and they want to know if there's anything specific that they can do to help us as we reach out to help those who ask us for help from polygamy groups. So I thought I would use this part of the show from time to time to maybe announce some specific need we might have. Right now, I would like to make mention that when people leave polygamy groups, normally they leave without any money. They leave without any resources of cash flow. Some of them will leave with an automobile. Others will not have a car. And if they do leave with a car, they don't have any money to fill their gas tanks up. So I thought I would ask those of you who are interested in helping out in the ministry, you could buy some prepaid gasoline cards and send them to us. The gasoline companies in this area would be Texaco, Sinclair, Phillips 66, 7-Eleven sells gas, Miniature Market, Smith's and Albertsons also sells gas. And if you wanted to buy the cards in $10 or $15 or $20 increments, I think that would be helpful. For those who leave polygamy groups without a car, they would need transportation. So you can either offer yourself to chauffeur them, or you could buy bus passes, non-expiring bus passes, and that would be helpful for them as well. We are a 501c3 organization, so anything that you do donate to us, of course, would be tax deductible. Tonight we are hosting a special memorial tribute to a man by the name of Charlie Kingston. Charlie was born and raised in the Kingston Polygamy Group. He had vision difficulties from childhood. He was the son of an incestuous marriage. His father was his mother's uncle. He got married when he grew up, and eventually he left the group. In September of 2008, Charlie was diagnosed with melanoma, and he had undergone some surgery. But in March of this year, just a few months later, he was diagnosed that the cancer had spread to his brain. It was now just a matter of a short period of time. He was able to visit with loved ones and friends and say goodbye to them before he died. He did die of cancer at 41 years of age on July 14th of this year, 2009, just a couple of months ago. Unfortunately, Charlie and his family experienced the usual, and I might add the inhumane, treatment of shunning that this culture practices against those who dare to exercise their free agency and live their own way of living and believing according to their choice. This shunning was active in Charlie's life and in his family's life up until the day he died, and it continues to be practiced against his widow and children. We hope that in telling Charlie's story, it will touch the hearts of those who really don't understand what it's like to grow up in an oppressive, incest-riddled polygamy group, and being a victim of some very strange, unhealthy, and even dangerous dietary and other ideas. We had invited his widow, Stacy, to come and share Charlie's story with us, but huge medical bills and other circumstances made it impossible for her to come. So instead, to help tell her story, we have invited two of Charlie's very close friends to be our guests tonight, and I'd like to now introduce them. Our first guest is Elaine Peterson. She was a guest on our program in August of 2008. She and her husband practiced polygamy for a short period of time, but polygamy was very distasteful to all concerned, and the polygamous marriage broke up. Eventually, Elaine and her husband left the group. They've never looked back. They've never been sorry they left. If anything, they wondered why it took them so long to get out of there. Elaine is now a Christian and was a very close friend to Charlie and also his cousin. Thank you, Elaine.
Oh, thanks for coming. Having me back.
I appreciate your being here. I'd also like to introduce our second guest, Robert Peterson. He and Elaine are half siblings. They're half brother and sister, and you'll find that very prodigious in polygamy groups where there were so many half brothers and sisters. Robert and Charlie were very close. Robert dearly wanted to participate in this tribute tonight, and because he knew it would make Charlie very happy for him to do so. Robert was also raised in this polygamy group, and he also has left the group and has never regretted a day or an hour that he's been gone. Welcome, Robert, to the show.
Thank you, Doris.
Joseph Smith claimed that God condemned all religions on this planet. He called them all an abomination and corrupt. This is the foundation of Mormonism. Now, when Joseph Smith incorporated polygamy into his restored religion, he pronounced that polygamy was required by God for salvation. As a result, many in this culture have adopted an attitude of superiority because they believe that they alone are God's special people. The rest of the world and all religions are beneath God's notice. Now, they may deny that this is what they believe, but that is part of their doctrine. Sadly, this superior attitude and other issues surrounded Charlie's birth, his life, and his death. Robert, I'd like to start the questions, the interview with you. Charlie had severe vision problems from his childhood, like I mentioned. Would you tell us some of the details about his birth and some of the reasons that possibly contributed to his vision problems aside from the incest of his parents?
Well, in the order, the fundamental group, then most people are in the group and they think to put the group first and everything else last. Their children, everything like that, they work really hard. Their families, I mean, are like put last. Like Charlie would be the really first thing on the thing for the families. It'd mm-hmm. be mainly for like Mary to go to work, to make sure that her business is successful, make sure that she does everything to make the order more money. Mm-hmm. And that's their main goal is the money. And it's not about the family and stuff like that. It's about mm-hmm. the money. Okay. It's about putting that forward.
And so while she was pregnant then, she would be like worked, no rest, not enough nutrition, not enough care of her own body, of her own pregnancy, that maybe
exactly
it hurt the child that mm-hmm. she was carrying.
Yeah.
Okay, is this normal in the group?
Oh, yeah.
Is it for?
It's like my mom, she'd go to work early in the morning, come home late at night, and most of my sisters would take care of us. Instead of taking care of, you know, homework and stuff like that, they'd take care of their little siblings because their parents are always gone to work uh-huh. and things like that.
Family comes last. What about doctor's care? Are they under normal physician care when they're pregnant?
No.
So if there's anything going wrong, then they would never know of that, really?
No, not medical. At all.
Mm-hmm. What about their diet while they're pregnant?
Well, they just, a lot of times they, like with Mary and Crane, they believed in eating raw and just certain things. They didn't eat any meat or anything like that.
No protein.
And then a lot of times they'd even fast when they were having their children too.
Like they would go on their long fast during pregnancy?
Not long, but just short ones.
Yeah. Short fast like during that. Their pregnancies? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He had severe vision problems, right?
Very severe.
Even when did it first show up?
Well, he could never see very well at all.
Even when he was a baby?
Yeah, just all through his life and stuff like that. He would have to ride a bicycle. He worked for my dad for a lot of years, mm-hmm. and he'd have to ride a bicycle to work every day because he couldn't see good enough. But he I don't know how he rode his bicycle because he would crash into cars and do different things like that on a daily basis.
Because he couldn't see.
Yeah, couldn't see. Yeah.
Goodness.
And it's sad, but in a way he didn't want to take anybody's help. So he would wake up early in the morning, like 4 o'clock in the morning, drive clear to work, which is like 5 to 10 miles, and then he'd be there on time at 6 o'clock in the morning. And if it's snow, then he'd leave even earlier.
And he'd ride his bike in the snow.
Snow, rain, wow. Whatever he needed to. Wow. He just really had a lot of drive.
So he had a good work ethic.
Really good work
regardless
ethic.
Regardless of his
yeah.
vision.
But he was a really amazing person.
In this polygamy group, somebody has put up a public MySpace page, and Charlie's widow, Stacy, wrote this on that webpage. And of course, I'm not going to read it all, I can't. But just for our viewers to understand what some of these odd dietary ideas are, I would like to kind of fill you in on what she said. She said Charlie had testing done on his eyesight, and the doctors told him that it was because his mother and father were closely related. They deny that, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Within the group. They don't think it's because of their incest. She said, we went to some of the best doctors in Washington State to try to get help for Charlie. She said Charlie was told his whole life by his family that his mother was going to fix his eyes by making him eat nasty things. And so they were going to change his diet, make his diet, would change his eyesight so he could see right. Is that correct?
Well, they wouldn't say nasty, but they just do it different.
Well, they wouldn't say it tasted nasty, but it was. I've been there. I know what they eat.
It was horrible, but you got to learn to like what you do, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just one of those things.
That's right, and it'll make your eyes get better. And that's what my mother kept telling me, too, and you notice I still wear glasses.
Yeah.
She stated that he had eye problems because he ate the wrong things, so to give Charlie peace of mind, when they got into Washington State, they moved up there eventually. They went from doctor to doctor to doctor to figure out what it was. And the doctor said it wasn't his fault, that it was because of the parents' close blood relationship in marriage. And so that gave him his peace of mind. And, of course, she's upset because it made him feel guilty that his blindness was because of something he had eaten. Okay, Elaine. Would you fill us in with some of the information about how children are nurtured or not nurtured in this group?
You know, the mothers work so hard, and their main goal is to build the kingdom of God up financially. And the kids, they do get lost in the shuffle. And Charlie was no different. I heard a really cute story, kind of, from a close cousin of mine. And she says that Charlie would go to her house, and he would play all day and have fun. And there was one night where her mom called Charlie's mom and asked if anyone was going to be picking Charlie up. And they didn't realize that Charlie was gone. It was after 10. They all slept in the same room.
Oh my.
And they didn't realize Charlie was gone. But the mom's work, they're just exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
They work. There are some moms that get to stay home and take care of kids,
mm-hmm.
but there are a lot of moms that have to work really, really hard. And his mom was sent out of town quite a bit too.
So she would have to leave the children with somebody mm-hmm. else anyway.
Yeah.
So in this group, and a lot of polygamy groups, by the way, do this. This isn't unique. But the mother has to support herself.
Mm-hmm.
She's a polygamous wife. Her husband won't support her. Her polygamist mm-hmm. husband won't support her. She's required to have a baby a year
mm-hmm.
and still support and pay rent and pay her own utilities and buy the food for the family during mm-hmm. the pregnancy, and the husband doesn't contribute to the household expense.
And they're not paid very well.
And they're paid minimum wage or just a little bit above.
I don't even know if they were paid minimum wage back when Charlie was growing up.
Wow.
I could be wrong.
Wow.
They supplement their diet with they eat out of garbage cans a lot. You know, different places that would throw things out, they would mm-hmm. use that to supplement their their mm-hmm. food budgets.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was sad, but it's what they did.
Excuse me. Elaine, how many siblings did Charlie have?
You know, Charlie, I don't think he ever really knew. He heard at one time there was maybe 100 or more. He heard that his dad may have had 15 or more wives. He wasn't sure, and he didn't know them all. And that was really sad for him, as he wanted to know them.
He wanted to know
mm-hmm.
them. Mm-hmm. And again, this isn't unusual, is it? Robert, Charlie grew up, and he met his sweetheart.
Mm-hmm.
And neither she nor her family was familiar with polygamy.
Right.
But they got married, and would you tell me what Stacy, his widow, his wife, knew about polygamy, what she thought about it when she learned about it, and what happened?
Well, I don't think she really knew much about polygamy. I think when she said she heard about it, she thought they were joking, that they actually married more than one wife. And because she was quite young when she got to know Charlie, she was only like 15, but she never was introduced to polygamy or anything like that. So when she heard about it, she thought that they were crazy, and then all of a sudden it was real, and then she was like, wow, this is nuts, this is not good.
Mm.
And she was just astounded that they would actually do that and actually believe in something like that.
Mm-hmm. And it is shocking for somebody that's not familiar with the polygamy culture at all.
Yeah, really shocking.
How old were they when they got married?
Charlie was 17 and she was 15.
Ooh, she was young.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the groups, they marry very young.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just the way they
even though she wasn't part of the group, that he married her that young.
Mm-hmm.
Elaine, I know that polygamy groups often treat outsiders as if they had the plague, or worse, like we talk, mm-hmm. they do the shunning in sometimes pretty sad type of way. How was Stacy treated by the group?
When you come in from the outside, a woman has a better chance of being more accepted. A man cannot come in, I don't think. But a woman, no matter what, you're always an outsider. If you were born in the group, you have the chosen blood, and she didn't have it.
She didn't
have
the chosen
blood. You know, she said that his brothers said really mean things to her because she was an outsider. And
did they ever warm up to her? Did they ever treat her with...
No,
they didn't. And when she called one time to go over and visit with the kids, then they met her outside of the house because Charlie's sister was there, who's also married to her half-brother, and she was there having a party with his other wives, and so they weren't allowed to go in the house.
Hmm.
And it made her feel really
bad. That's a rejection.
Yeah, and when she moved away, then when they both moved away, Charlie would call every holiday, every birthday. He would call his mom and his aunt and his siblings, and they never called him. They wouldn't call him back. The only time they sent gifts was when Stacy called and let him know what they could send.
Uh-huh.
But that's hard on kids.
It's the children that suffer mm-hmm. through that. And it is sad because the children need to be better nurtured than
mm-hmm.
that. They need a better example than that. They eventually left. Charlie finally decided that he wanted to get out of the polygamy group, and he left the group. He took Stacy and they left. Charlie and Stacy had a family. I think they had 4 grown children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2 boys, 2 girls.
And they did want those children to know their family, to know the family, the aunts and the uncles and the nieces and so on. Do you think that the way the polygamy groups handle this, that it's cheating the children out of their rightful heritage to know their uncles and aunts and cousins and grandparents?
Even my kids feel that. They feel so bad when they see their friends with their grandparents and having... My mom is really good with them,
uh-huh.
but... It would be nice to have both sets.
And to have them love mm-hmm. your children as much as they love the ones who were still in the
yes.
group.
Yes. Oh, that would be awesome.
Yes, it would. Right now, we would like to open the telephone lines, invite you to telephone to call in. We won't be answering the phones yet for a few minutes because we still have a little bit to go, but you can start calling in now if you'd like. Remember that... You need to turn your TV down, and please have your question or your comment formulated. Please call in if you have questions or comments about what we're talking about, and you can ask a question to any of us here. Remember also that we don't take any more rude or yelling telephone calls. We don't want to discourage honest questions and comments, but please, we will cut off anyone who is rude to us. After Charlie and Stacy had permanently broke connection and fidelity with the polygamy group, they tried the LDS Church for a while. It didn't take them very long, however, to realize that it's the same Joseph Smith that was in charge of the Mormon Church that's in charge of the polygamy group. And so after a lot of study, and they left Mormonism and they embraced biblical Christianity, leaving Joseph Smith behind. So a few months before his death, Charlie gave a video testimony of his experiences, which was placed on a YouTube and was on the internet. Right now, I would like to show our audience, our viewing audience, and share his testimony with you that he had on the YouTube. So would you please watch?
Hello, Johnny Kingston. I just want to give a quick... story about my life and how I came to know Christ. I started out basically growing up in a city in Utah, or a small town in Utah. Bountiful, Utah, just north of Salt Lake. If you search on the internet for the name Kingston, or comes up with a lot of information about the group there. Basically a breakoff group from the Mormon Church when they went away from polygamy. My family wanted to keep doing it. grow up in their faith and following their faith. But as I got a teenager, like most people do, I started searching and questioning and broke away from that. Did spend a few years going and joining the actual current Mormon church, but in doing more study and more research on that, studying the Book of Mormon and the Bible, and finding out as I'm studying those that the Book of Mormon doesn't necessarily complement the Bible. In places it actually contradicts, I realized that my basic belief that the Bible is the true book and the one you want to follow, that I'm doing the wrong thing by following this other book, because it doesn't complement it. It shows other supposed to be truths that conflict with it. So I went away from that. I went back to doing my own thing, reading the Bible on my own time. I still wasn't sure where I was going, still searching. Come to Arizona and invited to go to a non-denominational Christian church. And there they gave a lesson on sola fide, saved by grace, by faith alone. And that's where and when I realized that what the truth is all about. And when I accepted Jesus, shortly after that, I met a guy who is now a good friend of mine, leads a ministry that I get involved with sometimes, go out and talk to Mormons at the temple. And I feel like my experience with having been a Mormon, or LDS member, however they want to classify that helps me with being able to talk to them, because I've been where they are, but I now know where the real truth is. My brothers and sisters, honestly, I don't know them all. My dad had, I've heard a couple different counts, I didn't ever keep track myself, but between 12 and 15 wives. And so some of my brothers I knew, some of them I didn't really ever get to know. But I mean, they still believe that Joseph Smith is the true prophet, and the true one, that, you know, his teachings are correct, and they believe in the Doctrine and Covenants, section 132, where it talks about the different layers of heaven and the highest degree, and the only way to get there is through following and living polygamy. They still believe that to be true. A big help, because it helps me to study and get into the Word of the Bible and learn more about, you know, the teachings of God and the teachings of Jesus, and how to be a stronger Christian myself. And it also helps me to be able to go out with them to the and do missionary work, talking to Mormons, not only at the Mormon temple, but with talking to missionaries when I get a chance. And it's been a great experience, because then I can tell my experience and my story as far as having been a Mormon and now coming to Christianity. I can use my experience and my growth, and they've helped me to find more information to study on and to learn with, and to further my growth and better my walk with Christ. Okay, so for anybody that's questioning their beliefs, or maybe is a grew up Mormon, or and just now starting to question things, or maybe it's not following mom and dad's faith anymore like I've done in the past, and maybe you want to have your own, you know, belief for yourself that it's true or that it's not true, I would recommend, you know, do the true test of a prophet that it talks about in the Bible. Test if the prophet is leading you after the right God, and if his prophecies are true or not. And definitely pray about it, and, you know, read into the Bible and get into the scriptures and confirm that is or is not the right thing for you. I mean, I've learned that, you know, Joseph isn't a true prophet by doing the biblical test of a prophet. And that's one of the reasons why I'm where I'm at today, and why I try to seek out and help others that are maybe questioning their faith, and even those that might just plant a seed and someday they start thinking about it.
That
testimony when he knew that he had cancer, and he wanted people to know that he had found the truth after having been and born and raised in the oppressiveness of a polygamy group. Stacy, his widow, bragged about Charlie and his love for God, and as you can see from the YouTube video, that he was not ashamed to talk about his Savior and about the truths of God's Word. And he expressed his trust in the Bible, and that God had promised that he would keep his word safe and that it would endure through all generations. His heart's desire was that his family would listen to him and take him seriously and check out the things that he had been saying. Robert, real quickly, we have some calls coming in. I want to ask you a question about some funds that Charlie received relative while he was still in the group relative to his blindness. And this polygamy group takes your money. You are required to turn it into their central bank account. In fact, if a person has their own personal bank account, it's frowned upon. In yes. fact, they threaten you. You can lose your membership if you get your own personal bank account. And when he wanted to withdraw that money, they told him it wasn't there. They wouldn't give it to him. Is this something they contrived some excuse of why they couldn't give him the money? Would you tell us what happened? And is this a usual questionable financial activity from that group?
Yeah, the thing is they think that all money's their money. So that whenever somebody tries to get their money, then they take and they say, "Well, we don't have it at the time, or we'll look into it. Well, see, it's like my brother. He had a." He was planning on leaving the group, and he called in and says, "I want to know how much money I have in the group." And they said, "You have several thousand dollars." Well, then he told them he's leaving, and then the next day he had zero. And then actually, and a little bit later, then he actually had a debt, which they had my mom pay.
So they told him he had the money. The next day he went to get it. They said he had none. And the next thing you know, he's in debt, and your mother had to pay his debt.
Right.
And don't they have some kind of a guideline that if you die owing money, your parents or your relatives
children.
Have to pay it, or you don't go to heaven?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Your children.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to find that one in the Bible as well. Mm-hmm. And one more thing, his wife Stacy tells us that Charlie was asked by them to sign a blank last will and testament.
They do that to the
and he refused members. To do it, but they now I've heard of some weird things polygamy groups do, but this is very, very, and this amazes me. Yeah. They want you to sign a blank last will and testament.
So if you have more than what you thought they thought you had, then they can just add it in.
They can just fill it out according to whatever they want.
Yeah.
Has this happened?
Oh yes, like with my dad.
Oh my goodness.
They didn't have a will at the time. We was in the court proceedings for his inheritance. And then a year later, they found it with everything on there, somehow.
I'd like to know if that's even legal. I don't see how it can be, but I'm not an attorney. I really wouldn't know. But that's amazing.
It's absurd.
It is. It's amazing. It's sad. Mm-hmm. Okay, we have a couple of calls here. We have line 2, Joe in Sandy. Hello, Joe?
Yes.
Yes, Joe, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air, Joe.
Listening to your program, I've got a couple questions. And the first one I have is, I've seen your program before. I'm not LDS. I'm not a LDS basher, but I'm not LDS. And I really am trying to learn about the church and things like this. And I was wondering about your remark that the young lady there at the table had converted to Christianity. Does not the LDS church believe that they are Christians? And another question I noticed, and I've noticed this myself, the lady said that the Mormons, not necessarily the fundamentalists, but the Mormons themselves, have an air of superiority insofar as that they think they're the only ones going to go to heaven. All other religions before them were cast out by God and said, now this is the newly and only religion, therefore if you're not without religion, you're not going to heaven. I've noticed that a lot in Utah, but
yes.
I don't care. It doesn't bother me one bit, as long as they live a good life. Can you comment on that, number one, on the Christianity, whether or not the Mormons are Christian, or whether or not you think the Mormons are Christians? And and then further on that superiority issue?
Well, it doesn't matter whether I think they're Christian or not. What matters is, are they Christian according to what the Bible says? They want to claim they're Christian all day long, but that doesn't make them Christian. In fact, when Mormonism first began, starting with Joseph Smith and on through Brigham Young and other of the church fathers, they denied they were Christian. They didn't want to be aligned with Christianity. And if you want to look at the Mormons' doctrines, it does not line up. None of their doctrines line up with biblical Christianity. And their doctrines are not Christian doctrines. So they can't claim, by any validity, claim to be Christian. Now, for the superiority, even some of the polygamy groups have that superiority issue because they think they are the only ones who are God's chosen, and that they are the only ones that are pleasing God by their lifestyle, and that those who they call Gentiles are not part of God's program. They're not part of God's sheep yet, so to speak, and so they're better. They're better than them. They're on a higher scale. Maybe they did better in the pre-existence, which didn't exist, but they think it does. And that they're working their way to glory. And so there's just, whether they have a valid reason for thinking they're superior or not, I don't think that's the point, because we all are created in God's image, and we are all equally sinners and need a Savior. So none of us can have a superiority, valid superiority, over another.
Yeah, I worked in the Far East for maybe 15, 20 years in the oil business, and I communicated with the Arabs, and I've run across several types of their religions over there. And over there, they thought that they were superior. They wouldn't even shake my hand. In fact, if I put my hand out to be shaken, they turned the palm, the upside of their hand towards me and just bump it. Because their religion doesn't allow their palm of my palm to touch a heathen's palm. I still conducted my business just like in the state of Utah.
Sure.
If they think they're superior over me, I don't care. Let them think that. And if as long as I do what I think is going to lead me and lead a good life and be good to my fellow man and pray the beliefs that I believe in.
I agree with you, Joe, but the point that we were trying to make as we were talking is, what does that do to the children? When children are raised in a society like this, and just like Elaine talked about her children, her children haven't even been allowed to get to know some of her cousins and parents, their grandparents and aunts and uncles, because they're not part of the group. They're superior, and so it does hurt the children of these kinds of societies.
Oh, there ain't no doubt about that. I was raised in a Catholic orphanage, so I have a certain knowledge of what goes through a child's life when he looks out and sees kids with parents, too. The one big question I got in your program, do you try to encourage people to come out of polygamy, which I do? I have a good friend of mine who's very into the tapestry against polygamy, and he's very, very closely associated with it, and he does the same thing, basically, that you do. But he tries to bring them out of polygamy and keep them in the LDS Church. Do you actually encourage them to leave the LDS Church entirely?
The LDS Church is based on false doctrine, so yes, we encourage them to make up their own mind, to do their own studies, and make up their own mind based on the biblical truths. We don't try to push anything on anybody, but we do try to get them out of polygamy if they want to get out, yes.
Well, I agree with you. I think that polygamy is something that there's two sides to that. Number one, there's an illegal side to it under the law of the land.
Uh-huh.
And then there's the religious side. And I believe every man has a right to believe what he wants.
Yes, but he doesn't have the right to act the way he wants.
I understand that.
Okay,
understand
we have another call coming in, and I do appreciate your call.
The effect on the children is probably the most poignant effect and point that you point out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks a lot for your call tonight.
Bye.
Uh-huh, good night. Okay, we have a call, line one, Steve in Provo. Hello, Steve.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air, Steve.
Okay. Is this Doris?
This is Doris.
Hello, I have a question for Elaine and Robert.
Okay.
My question is, if you guys are such good friends with Charlie, is why you guys wasn't able to make it to his funeral? Can you answer that one?
I chose to go see him while he was alive.
Yeah, funny. So how did you not make it to his funeral then?
I don't attend funerals.
Yeah, you guys wasn't expecting that. But anyways, I have another question for you guys.
Steve?
What do you guys think about that?
Steve? Robert said that he chose to go see Charlie while he was still alive. I think that's a very valid answer.
Yeah, and also...
Did you want to have an answer, Elaine?
Steve,
Elaine needs to answer your question as well.
And I also went and seen
his
him
family was able
while
to
he
go
was
see,
alive.
Did have time to go see him at his funeral and while he was still alive.
Okay, Steve, so what is your point? They both got to see him before he died, which was very important to him and to
them. And my point is just that those guys are talking about something that they don't really know what they're talking about. And so they need to get their facts straight before they start talking about it. And also,
what did they say that was wrong, Steve? What did they say that where their facts were wrong?
Their facts about how they were such good friends and their family didn't care about them, family didn't know them. Their family probably cared about them more than you guys did and probably knew them better than you guys did.
Well, Steve, you're saying the word probably. I don't think that you know their personal relationship, so I think you're just making assumptions.
Yeah, and I also have another question real quick.
Okay.
My question is that, so all three of you guys were born in a polygamy group, right?
Yes.
So all three of you guys have polygamy to thank for your life and the fact that you are alive to this very day?
I think, Steve, that God has a creativity that we could have been alive without polygamy.
And my dad wasn't in the polygamy group.
Oh, guess what? That's right, Elaine, because your mom is the same mom as Robert's mom.
Right. We have different dads.
I know.
Steve, did you call to mock us, or are you done?
I have one more question.
Well, you better make it quick, because if you're mocking us, I'm going to hang up on you.
I have a question for the Catholics. You said that Catholics believe that, that you'll be saved by grace alone?
Christians, right? The Bible teaches we're saved by grace alone.
And I have, there's only one section in the scriptures that say that, one verse, and it was written by Apostle Paul. So you guys are going to roll out the whole, every single verse just to believe
Steve,
that
Steve, let
verse,
me
right?
give you some verses. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Titus chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Romans chapter 9, verses 24 to the end of the chapter. Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. Try them on for size and then say there's only one verse that says works alone.
And then so also I want to let everyone else on TV know that's watching this.
We're going to say goodnight now, Steve. Thank you. Okay, I don't know if you know who he was, but he sure seemed
sounds
to know
really
who you,
familiar.
He sounds
he wasn't Steve.
No, and I don't think he was from Provo.
I don't
either.
Think so either.
By then we know that we can expect those kinds of things. Let's talk a little bit about, by the way, we're still taking phone calls in spite of some of the ones that we don't necessarily want to talk with, but if you have any comments that you would like to say about our show tonight, we would be happy to talk to you as well. How did Charlie deal with his illness and with the surgery and the subsequent knowledge of his impending death? He knew he was dying, and you both were able to go see him before he died, after he had gotten the word that he was going. How did he deal with it?
When I talked to him, it was really hard. I mean, it was really difficult. He said, he didn't want to leave his family and different things, but, I mean, he dealt with it really well. I mean, he handled it very well. He realized that he came to peace with himself and his family and God and everything like that. So we talked for a while about it. We talked weekly about different things, but yeah, he.
Do you think his faith that he had a very strong faith? Do you believe that he was able to pull through it easier because of that?
I do, and I think that I know that they hoped that he would get better, and they wanted to start traveling. And when I seen him, his daughter made us a fantastic dinner, And I took some letters down that he had wrote to me when we were teenagers. And we laughed, we cried. He gave me a ton of pictures to bring home.
Wow.
It was really neat to go down and see him. And then during, that was the night that he started taking his chemo medicine.
Oh.
And
that made him pretty sick.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I would call and a lot of times get a hold of Stacy to see how things were going, you know.
So it wasn't a shock when he finally passed on. Each of you know what it is to be in the polygamy group and to be raised in that culture, and not just the culture, but in the oppressive belief system. Would you each take a minute and express your joy, your thoughts of seeing someone who has come out of the same oppression that you've come out of and see them come to the knowledge of the truths of Scripture? And would you speak to any of the polygamy people that may be watching and maybe encourage anyone who is having doubts not to castigate themselves for their doubts but to follow through with them? Do you have any thoughts that you'd like to say to this?
Well, I'd just like to say to anybody that does break free, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of time, and you really have to read a lot. You have to study a lot, and things like that. It just doesn't happen overnight. And I tell anybody that to really study and to look into things, because I mean, when somebody like Charlie, that like he found the truth and stuff, it really worked good for him. But I just like to say that people that come out of it, they really studied, they really worked on it. It just didn't happen by chance. That's all I'd say.
What would you say to someone who's thinking of leaving, but maybe they're afraid they're going to leave behind their only chance of salvation by leaving?
Oh, almost the same as Robert. You have to study. Even if you're studying the original works, Joseph Smith's writings, Brigham Young's, get into it. A good tree will bear good fruit. And if you're looking at your leaders and they're doing things that are dishonest, it's not a good place to be. Illegal things, you've got to get clear away from that. The best thing that you can ever have is freedom. Freedom to choose who you want to marry, freedom to work where you want to work and live where you want to live, and associate with who you want to associate with. That's the most important right there. And believe in the type of religion that you want.
Make your own choices.
Mm-hmm.
We have another call coming in, line two. But before I answer the call, I'd like to ask our viewers a question. And maybe we can talk about this after the phone call. The polygamy groups do practice polygamy as they believe that the Old Testament teaches, because there's so many of the Old Testament characters practice polygamy. Why do you suppose that if you can live polygamy according to the Old Testament characters, why don't you practice polygamy according to the Old Testament guidelines of marriage in Leviticus 18? So, I'll take the call. Line 2, James from Eagle Mountain. Hello, James.
Hi.
Hi, James. You're on the air. Hello?
Hi.
You're on the air, James. What's your question?
My question is, if polygamy is against the Bible, if Heavenly Father doesn't want us to live it, then why did some of his most important prophets, Abraham and Jacob, live polygamy?
We get that question all the time, James. I don't know if you've watched the show before tonight or not. Everybody is important to God, and every one of us, with the only exception being Jesus Christ, are sinners. And God still loves us. Even though we sin, He still loves us. John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He doesn't just love those who didn't sin or don't sin. He loves every one of us. And just because some of the Old Testament prophets practice polygamy doesn't mean that God condones it, or that he commands it for salvation, or that he ever commanded it at all. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, a little bit, but I still don't understand why wouldn't the Lord tell them to stop what they were doing if he didn't condone it.
Well, what makes you think he didn't tell them not to do it? In Genesis chapter...
What makes you think he did tell them?
In Genesis chapter 2, we have the model of marriage, one man and one woman. In Deuteronomy 17:17, God gave command that a king was not supposed to multiply wives unto himself. We do have indication in the Bible that God did not want polygamy, and that they continued to do it anyway. Why do people murder? God said, thou shalt not kill, but they still murder. Why do people steal? God said, thou shalt not steal, and yet they do. So you answer the question, because we're sinners. But we have a gracious God who will forgive our sins if we'll repent and turn to him. We do have that book that I talked at the beginning of the show, Is Polygamy Biblical? And if you would like to leave your mailing address, we'll send that to you. It answers a lot of those questions. Hello?
Hi. I don't think it ever says anywhere in the Bible that polygamy is against.
Well, God did give command against polygamy. Now, if you want to get that book, it's absolutely free. You can leave your number, your mailing address, and we'll send it to you. I have another call coming in now, James. Thank you. Okay, Alice from Littlefield, Arizona. Hello, Alice.
Yes.
Alice, you're on the air.
Yes, hello.
Hello, what's your question?
Yes, I just take issue with you folks saying that Mormons are not Christian.
Well, you'll have to take that up with the Bible, because the Bible indicates who a Christian is. All I did was repeat what the Bible teaches.
But wait a minute. Wait a minute, please. The Mormons believe in the Bible just as much as they believe in the Book of Mormon.
They believe in the Bible only as far as it's translated correctly.
They believe, yes. As far as it's translated.
Oh, okay. See.
And who can prove that it has not been messed with?
Well, you know, it's been proven over and over again.
Archaeologists everywhere nowadays are proving a lot of different things, and there's about 20-some books that is missing out of the Bible.
No, there's
Bible
no
scriptures
books
itself
missing.
Says they're missing.
Well, then you don't believe in the Bible, do you?
Oh, yes, I believe in
well,
the Bible.
Well, why do you believe in a book that's not true?
Let me make it clear. I'm not Mormon. I've never belonged to any polygamy group or any fundamentalist. But I know a lot of good Mormons. I know a lot of good fundamentalists. People who were polygamous, and they have been very, very happy people.
Alice, that
well,
isn't the point.
Sure.
The point is what
you're
does God want?
You're just doing all you can to tear down.
No, we just
but
want...
you live your own religious beliefs and let other people alone. Let them live theirs.
Because we want to do what Jesus told us to do, and that's to tell the truth.
And they do, too.
Okay. Then
I think all Christian groups are trying to do that, but some of them don't want to leave the others alone.
Some of them wanted to know the truth of the Bible, Alice. Thank you for your call. Good night. Okay, we have an off-the-air question. Please clarify relationship between guest parentage. Different fathers, same
mothers,
mother.
Same mothers.
Okay, different fathers, same mother. I'd like to quickly, we're getting towards the end of the show, I'd like to read some of the things that, just a few things that Charlie's widow said. She said, after Charlie started reading the Bible and finding out the lies in the Book of Mormon, he was shocked. He said that she said she started seeing changes in Charlie. The changes were awesome. He would call and talk to his mother about the differences between the book and that he was reading from and the book that they read from, and how he was saved by grace alone. He would tell her that good deeds are like filthy rags to God. That's Isaiah, by the way, 64:6. And there was nothing on the earth you could do to work your way to heaven. That is biblical. And that they will never become gods one day. Charlie is so true. They would never listen to him, even in his time of death. Charlie came out of his little shell, and he'd go out and speak of the teachings of God from the Bible. She goes on to say, Charlie had a true love and relationship with God. Even though Charlie was blind, he read it every day. There was not a day that Charlie didn't have his Bible with him. He used it like it was a sword. I asked Stacy, what would be your advice to people who may be thinking of leaving? And she said, I'll tell them to read Deuteronomy chapter 18 and chapter 13 and tell them that there's a much better life out there for them to live. Start thinking for yourself, she said. I would tell them there are people outside of the group who will help them leave. She said, if Charlie and I can make it, so can you. And if you don't have, you don't have to stay there and keep getting hit, and neither do your children. You have the right to have running water and food that you don't get from the dumpsters and outdated food from the grocery store. God has a better plan for you. She says, I know it's very hard for you to trust, but at some point in your life, you have to trust someone to get out. Why not now? Charlie would want me to tell all of you that he loved his whole family, never quit talking to them about God, and Charlie did not have a religion. He had a relationship. And I'd like to close with some comments of my own. Did you know that Satan can make people very comfortable in their religion? He does it all the time. He can make the most dangerous lie seem so right and so spiritual that it seems like it comes right from the heart of God. He can make wrong religion seem right. Satan is the master deceiver, the most clever of creatures. You cannot out-clever the devil. The Bible tells us that we are not to be unaware of Satan's schemes. So how do we become aware of his schemes? And what is our defense against his deceits? Truth. And God has given us truths. Isn't it interesting that Jesus referred to himself as the truth? He also has the designation as the Word of God. So we know that the Word of God is truth. On the other hand, Satan is called the liar, the father of lies. In fact, Satan cannot tell the truth. That's what Jesus said. So God gave us the truths of his word to fight against the devil's lies. Now, Jesus promised that his word would never pass away. And Satan comes along and claimed that God's word did pass away, that it was corrupted, that it was lost, and that it needed to be restored, and millions believed it. So who will you believe? Jesus' promise that his word would never pass away, or Satan's lie that it did? Our great and only weapon against Satan is the truth of God, which he is found in the Bible and which he has revealed in the Bible, that has not been corrupted and has not lost many precious things. So why not move out of your comfort zone and embrace the truths of the Bible? We want to thank you, Stacy, for sharing Charlie's story with us. We pray God's comfort on you and your children. And we do thank you, viewers, for being here tonight. We hope to see you next week. Good night.
This has been the audio podcast edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? This program is a production of A Shield and Refuge Ministry and Main Street Church of Brigham City. You can view current and past video episodes as well as download audio episodes of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. If you or someone you know is in need of assistance in leaving a polygamous situation, please contact us. We are here to help. All of our contact information can be found at shieldandrefuge.org or call us at 877-425-9993. If you have any questions or comments about this or any of our other programs, we'd love to hear from you. Write us at email at whatloveisthis.tv. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again.